A few days ago, I had a conversation with a local theologian and anthropologist, and he and I were talking about how he was saying, you know, I noticed how people are really drawn to their own people, you know, like this is, it's kind of like a natural thing, and we talked about it back and forth, and I was like, yeah, I think it's kind of true, but I also think it's kind of not true. I was a little nervous about that. But he was, you know, we were just kicking it back and forth, and he was trying to talk to me about it, and I was trying to talk to him about it, and we didn't come to any conclusions, but it was a nice thing, a nice conversation. And then I started thinking about it later, and I realized, I think he might be right. I was thinking about my trip to Italy. When I went to Italy, I fell in love with everybody I met. Everybody reminded me of somebody that I love, right? This guy reminds me of my Uncle Mike. This guy reminds me of my Uncle Joe. This woman reminds me of my cousin Stella. Everybody I knew, everybody I met, reminded me of somebody I knew and loved. And so I thought, well, maybe he's got a point here. I love these people. They're my people. Even the guy, the gruff guy in Delia in Sicily, where we stopped because we were trying to find my cousin's house, and all we knew was their names. We didn't even know their address. But we stopped near a cafe, and the owner of the cafe was there, walked right in, and I said, this guy looks just like my dad. And we come in, and my son's Italian's just a couple of months old. He's just learning, and he's trying to explain to him what we're doing. We're trying to find these cousins. And he's like, ah, flat. Get out of here. What are you talking about? I don't know. But all in Italian, of course. But I know what he's saying because I know my dad. He says, I don't know nothing about it. I'm busy here. Right? And then, after that, he just goes around the cafe and starts asking people, you know these people? You know these people? Hey, anybody know any ideas about this? And by the time it's all over, he comes out to us and he says, just walk up that street right there. I think you'll find them. And sure enough, he sent us on the path, and it was the right path. This is perfectly how every one of my father, my uncles, my cousins, they all act like that. Gruff exterior, your first impression might not be these are nice guys, but they'll give you the shirt off your back. I love that guy. So I thought, maybe he's right. Maybe we do. Maybe we are just naturally inclined to love our own people. And then I thought of The African Queen. Do you remember that movie? Right? Charlie is this guy, he's a boat runner, he runs up and down the river and sells things and all these things along all the different towns on the river. And Rose is the sister of a missionary who had been killed. She's there by herself, and Charlie has to pick up Rose, and they're going down the river. And Charlie one night gets totally drunk, too much gin, and he starts to get real ugly with Rose and says really terrible things. And in the morning, he wakes up, and he's hungover, and he's regretful, and he wakes up to Rose pouring all of the bottles of gin into the river, right? And he's like, no. And he says, ma'am, it's just human nature once in a while that that guy would, you know, have a drink once in a while. It's human nature, and she says. Nature, Mr. Allnut, is what we were put on this earth to rise above. And when I remembered that, I thought, Jesus must have seen this movie. Because it may be our human nature to love the people that we are with, our own people. It's perfectly natural for me to go to Italy and fall in love with everybody I meet. That's perfectly natural. But that human nature is what we were put into this world to rise above, if we take Jesus seriously this morning. Because there he is with his own people in Nazareth. And things are going very well for him. You'll remember last week, right? He opens the scripture. He reads the beautiful text of Isaiah. He says, today this text is fulfilled in your hearing. Everybody speaks well of him. This is our hometown boy. What has he got to say next? Jesus, they don't say, like, do for us what you did at Capernaum. But he has this sense, apparently, that something like that is brewing. I'm with my own people. What do I do? And what he does is this. He's got some stories to tell him. Of course he, right? Of course he's rubbing his hand. Doesn't everybody when they tell a story? And so he says, well, you all know a couple of stories. You remember Elijah when there was the famine for 3.5 years and there were lots of widows in Israel, but he was sent not to the people of Israel, but to a widow in Zarephath in Sidon. And you and I know that story. It's a wonderful story, right? You know, she's running out of meat. She's collecting little sticks so she can bake one more little patty of bread so that she and her son can eat it, and then they're going to die. That's all there is left. And remember, Elijah says, nope, the mead's not going to run out. The oil's not going to run out until the heavens open up. It's a great story. It's a wonderful story. It's not such a great story if you realize that Sidon is where Jezebel is from. And you know Jezebel, Ahab and Jezebel? Jezebel is the queen, is the queen's daughter who comes and marries the king of Israel and turns everything into no longer the worship of Yahweh, but the worship of Baal, including human sacrifice, the reintroduction of children's sacrifice, among other horrible things. Why in the world would God send the prophet not to us, not to the faithful ones, but to some person in Sidon, which is the source of all of our problems right now? Sidon, of all places. Jezebel, her hometown. Ugh. And what about Naaman the Syrian? He's the general of an army that is harassing Israel. Why does he get to be healed and not any of our people get to be healed? What's going on? Do you get to see, you get the sense of what's happening here? Jesus is bringing these stories up, and you know, he has nothing, no defense about it. He just simply has to say, I mean, it's in your Bible. I'm just telling you what's in your Bible. And then because of those stories, his people get so angry that they want to take him out and throw him over a cliff. Because we are under the illusion that we are the most important, that we are the special ones. And when Jesus starts talking, he's talking not from human nature, he's talking from God's nature. And it is God's nature to always be going out from us. It isn't easy. Just to bring it home, I'll tell you, there have been many times when there's been something going on here that we've had during the middle of the week that has been scheduled, whether it's a council meeting or whatever, on Tuesday night, and we're here, and all of a sudden in comes the people from the Four Square Church who every Tuesday, except that one Tuesday of the month, come and worship here. They pray. So here they are. Sometimes they beat us here, and I'm like, what am I going to do? What are we going to do? And I offer, well, look, why don't we just go downstairs? We'll have our council meeting downstairs. They can pray upstairs. We'll be downstairs. It'll be fine. And I'm the liaison between the two because I'm the one that speaks Spanish, and I'm talking to them, and I'm talking to the council meeting and or to whatever group it is. And more than once I have heard, not anybody wanting to throw me over a cliff, but really lovingly and actually in vulnerability, people coming to me and saying, Pastor, when things like this happen, it feels like you love them more than you love us. That's how it feels to us. And I have to say, there's lots of reasons for that. I bend over backwards sometimes for the sake of the Four Square Church that's in here, and sometimes it's simply because of my own guilt because I forgot to call them and tell them we were going to be here, right? So that's one dynamic that happens. Another is that maybe they just forgot, but they're coming here and they're really ready to pray. They are always ready to pray, and it's like, I'm going to kick them out because they're here praying in the Church of God. I'm going to kick them out of the Church of God because we need the church for something else. And finally, I often think, you know what? It wouldn't kill us to have a little inconvenience in our lives in relationship to them, because they have had to concede and to blend in and to bend over backwards as second-class citizens in our culture. So can't we do that once in a blue moon? So all of those things are in me as I'm, you know, and I'm sure I have tried to defend myself with these things and do all those things. And it dawns on me with the conversation that I've had and with this text today that I now know exactly why it's uncomfortable to think that we're just attracted to our own kind. It's because when Jesus says, think about what Elijah did and think about what Elisha did, and they are reflecting what God has in mind, the reality has to be that there is no longer any us and them. And that I have fallen into that us and them dichotomy. And we have. We always do. In God's view of things, there is no us and them. There is only us. That's it. And Lord have mercy, have I fallen into us in them? But I think that's what Jesus is up to here. That even from Sidon, even in the Syrians who are waging war with us right now, we are called to see it differently than us against them. There will be no more foes. Jesus is calling us to a new reality. And in that reality, we love everybody. Even those we aren't capable of loving, our enemies. By definition, we don't love them, right? But Jesus is saying a new age is coming. A new spirit is coming. And it is that age and in that spirit that we will be able to do what we are otherwise unable to do. To rise above our human nature. To love as Jesus loves. Now, there's no wedding today. Linda read that beautiful text from 1 Corinthians 13, right? About love. If we speak in the tongue of men and of angels but have not love, we are a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If we have faith as to remove mountains but have not love, right? That is a beautiful thing. And we have, and a wedding is a great place to read that. But it's also a great time to read it in with this text from Luke. Luke is always pushing us forward into new people. Luke is the one, actually, it's just a little side note here, but Luke is the one who we can blame for us being here right now. Because we, as children of the promise of Abraham, are that way because we have been invited in, grafted on to the tree of Israel, of Judaism. The promise is to them. And if St. Paul is any indication, he is saying, and that is why we are grafted on to the tree. So that we can also have that promise. And Luke tells that story beautifully in the book of Acts. where the gospel goes from Jerusalem to Samaria to the Gentiles, that's us. And it's radical. But it's God's way of seeing things. There is no us against them. There's no insider outsider. Uh-oh, I went on a tangent and I don't know where I stopped. Went. Now I have to go back. Okay. So, but looking at 1 Corinthians. Let's read it from the lens of Luke, of Jesus in the synagogue. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have no love for my foes, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have faith so as to remove mountains, but do not love my enemies, I am nothing. If I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, but do not love those outside of my own, I am nothing. And if I give away all my possessions, and if I hand over my body so that I may boast, but do not love the people I would rather not love, I am nothing. But love, and as the beautiful introit said, if we are pursuing love, then we must give ourselves over to it. Jesus style. Which means, yes, love those among us. And love those outside of us. Love those who love us, and love those who hate us. That's the message for which the people at Nazareth wanted to take Jesus and throw him over a cliff, because they did not want to love those people. They did not want to think that God loved them as much as they love us. But we know better. We get to hear these texts and let those texts run around in our hearts and argue with those texts and say, no, 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 until finally that no, no, no becomes yes, yes. Please, yes. But I can't do it on my own. Jesus, do it for me. God, deliver me. God, deliver us. That we may love as you love. Amen.